Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Well, going to be for the first hour, Barry Shamish, who is a Jewish patriot, a researcher who's been doing investigative journalism in Israel for many, many years now, and has written some fascinating books, about nine of them all. Today, of course, he's living here in the United States, having come under tremendous pressure in Israel, and he doesn't really feel it's safe for him to go back, and I rather agree with him. I think at least he'll be fairly safe here in America, because he's written extensively on the murder of Rabin, the former prime minister of Israel, and has accused some key people in the Israeli government of being involved. And what is even more amazing is that he actually has pretty close to almost half of the population of Israel who certainly consider that he may well be right, that Rabin was actually murdered and his murder was concealed by powerful forces in Israel. With that as the background, Barry, thank you very much for being with us this evening. And remember now, this is a different audience altogether from what we talked to this afternoon. So if you want to be repetitive, feel free.
Well, I'm glad always to be with you. Shall we talk about Perez visiting the Pope?
Go right ahead, and I think that's fascinating.
All right. Let's go into the action. Look, you know, I've had in the last week two major interviews by Jewish radio announcers, Tamar Yonah and Malka Fleischer at, Arutz 7, Israel National News, and Zev Brenner. He has the most popular Jewish, I believe it's the most popular Jewish, program in America. Now, they both asked me about Paris, especially Tamar, and I said, people, this is a Vatican spy. This is Israel's Vatican spy. And it sounds kind of, well, not to me, of course, but to a lot of people, it sounds very dramatic that you're a spy for the Vatican. Well, after I said that, today Mariv reproduced an amazing, not to me amazing and not to Dr. Stan amazing, but certainly to a lot of other people amazing revelation that Shimon Peres, as president of Israel, well, his first foreign visit will be to the Pope, Benedict the 16th in September. Now, that to me is, it tells everything, because Peres, when he was elected from the Kadima Party, after 6 days, visited Rome and visited Pope Benedict the 16th, and there was no shock. But I got to tell you that there is a shock applied to this visit, because Hosni Mubarak, President of Egypt, and one Masr, M-A-S-R, who is President of the Arab League, will be holding a conference in Rome just as Paris visits the Pope Benedict the 16th. And folks, I want to tell you, this is no surprise to me whatsoever. Paris, not representing the Knesset of Israel, representing only Shimon Peres, is going to be attending this massive convention in Rome after meeting the Pope, and I assume being sponsored by the Vatican.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back in just
a moment.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Barry is pointing out that Shimon Peres, whose position is only ceremonial, the president of Israel is not like the president of the United States. This is a ceremonial position, yet so why is he going over and visiting the Vatican not one but several times? And to the average individual who's uninformed really doesn't understand who really runs the world. And certainly one of the best books that we have in our library is written by a man I was fortunate to know. His name was Father Malachi Martin. He was a Jesuit priest, and he had actually been a confidant to Pope John Paul XXIII. We have a four-tape set of my interviews with him. We've read his books, but one of the most informative is called The Keys of His Blood. And we have an interview with Malachi on that. And he talks about who really runs the world. And he talks about the gold, the gold, the black, and the red. The red being the world communist movement. The gold being the transnationalists, represented by the globalists, the bankers and financiers who really run the West. And then, of course, the black being the papacy, and certainly its tremendous influence. It has a very effective intelligence service. It has agents in every country of the world. And behind the facade of the Vatican are very powerful political forces that are working along with the other major players determining the future of the world. So you picked up the story there, Barry.
Well, no, I think you should pick it up. You actually knew Malachi Martin. You actually interviewed Malachi Martin.
Yes, I have, yeah. But what a privilege it was. And we have a four-tape set, if you'd like. I'll be glad to send you a copy of that.
You know what? After you get my copy, I've sent you two DVDs and enjoy them. But if you interviewed Malachi Martin, what you're interviewing now, Barry Chambers, is an ant, you know, compared to someone high up in the Vatican. Well, look, I've read Malachi Martin, and if you interviewed him, well, you're interviewing nothing compared to him. I know a little about Israel, but my Lord, he knows the Vatican in between.
Well, I think you both do a good job. It's my job to record these interviews for posterity, so in the future people are going to be able to hear Barry Chambers and hear Malachi Martin and begin to put the pieces together and understand what's going on. I'll send a set of those four tape set when we get your DVD, Barry.
Wow. Well, look, my
hold that thought. We're going to just have to go to
right.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stam. Our guest is Barry Chambers, and we were simply talking about the power of the Vatican, one of the major players in geopolitics today. Barry, pick this story up, and of course, Shimon Peres is going to be going over there again to visit with the Pope. So where do we go from here? Why is this so significant?
Well, it's significant because Peres is a spy. You know, I mean, really, we're talking about Israel going straight down the tubes, and that Peres is working for the Vatican, and this is no joke anymore, but he's president of Israel. This is something new. And look, the Knesset is supposed to be the power of Israel. The president is supposed to be an entirely ceremonial position with no powers whatsoever. But I'll tell you something, Peres dictates to the Knesset. The Knesset does not dictate to Shimon Peres. And when he meets the Pope, he is determining Israeli policy. And this conference that, by the way, no one knows about, no one knows that Peres is going to Rome to meet the Pope and then to meet Mubarak and whoever Masar is. That is certainly not in my knowledge of Middle East history. The president of the Arab League, they're all going to meet in Rome in September. Oh, God save Israel. My goodness, what an awful thing is going to be happening. Look, Shimon Peres is precisely who I said he was. He is working for the Vatican. Now, what you've told me is fantastic, really, if you understand that the Vatican is not a symbolic power. They control 1 billion of a population of 6 billion on this earth, Catholics. And this meeting can determine the absolute undermining of Israel. Then we know what's going on. At least we know that Shimon Peres, the president of Israel, is undermining the population of Israel in a most profound and disgusting manner. This is actually quite a revelation for me that you knew Malachi Martin. Look, this was a week where the Israeli people rose up against Peres, and we'll start with the business tomorrow morning, your time. It's tomorrow afternoon, Israel time. There are two families in Hebron who are going to be removed. Two little itty-bitty families, 15 people, and 3,000 Israeli troops, IDF troops, are going to remove these two families.
Now, could you explain to our listeners about Hebron, about the fact that there still is a small Jewish population living in Hebron, and they're going to send 3,000 troops to actually oust these people? Where do they live in the Jewish market, or they have taken a position in the Jewish market there, or what?
Yes, of course they have. You explained that very well. There was a marketplace. It hasn't been used in, 13, 15 years. The point of the matter is that these Jewish families live in two little homes adjoining the marketplace. 3,000 Israeli soldiers are going to throw them out. Within hours of the time we speak, 3,000 IDF soldiers are going to throw out 20 people. Now, something really good happened. Now, look, it's all relative. Israel's news has been so rotten, so bad, but understand, for 150 years, since like 1850, the Jews have had this property. It's Jewish property. And by the way, the Arabs can live with two little Jewish homes. It doesn't in any way compromise their existence in Hebron. Now, the issue that is so important is that 30 soldiers said they would no longer cooperate with the IDF. That was it. They would no longer obey orders. They said they would not participate in the action to remove these families from their homes. Oh, I wish they were there when they removed the families from Gush Katif. 8,000 fine, prosperous Jews from Gush Katif. Where were these soldiers? Well, something new happened this week. 30 soldiers said, no, we are not going to participate anymore in the utter abomination known as the Israel Defense Forces. They disobeyed orders. They were immediately put on trial. They're going to get a month in jail. But the fact is that finally there are people, finally, by the way, I say this 2 years after the removal of Jews from Gush Katif and all those thousands of rocks on Sderot and Ashkelon, finally some Jewish soldiers are showing what they're made of. This is extremely good news, even though it's not enough. It is good news that the Israeli soldiers are defying the IDF finally.
Now, for our listeners out there, because Gush Katif is in Gaza, and this has been under Jewish rule for many, many years. They have their large greenhouses down there. There are about 8,000 Jews live there. They were prosperous. They provided jobs for the Palestinians. There was no problem there, certainly. The leaders of Israel had promised, you know, when they came to power, they were going to support the settlers in Gaza. Then as soon as they got into power, they sent the military down to drag them out forcibly and evict them and bring them into the main part of Israel, where they have no jobs, they have no nothing, they're almost refugees. And these were very productive, very well-off Jews, and they were betrayed. They were literally really forced to leave their homes, and the Israeli army went along with it. Now, for the first time, the Israeli army is saying, or at least some of the soldiers are saying, we think that we're being betrayed by our leaders. And they're saying, we're not going to put up with it. And maybe it's about time people began looking. You remember here when we had a little Elian Gonzalez down in Miami, and they sent 130 heavily armed, jackbooted military forces, a SWAT team, 130 at least, to kidnap Elian Gonzalez so they could send him back to Fidel Castro, to build up Fidel Castro's prestige throughout the world, thanks to Hillary Clinton and Janet Reno. That's somewhat comparable to what's going on over in Israel, except none of our forces said, we're not going to go down and kidnap this poor little kid and send him back to be raised in a communist country. Our forces went right along with it, but 30 Israeli soldiers said, we're not going to. So Did this create quite a commotion over in Israel when the soldiers are saying, we're not going to go along with your betrayal of Israel?
Well, first of all, Dr. Stan, I tried to follow your argument. That's amazing. I think you've drawn a parallel. I'll have to work it out later, but yeah, I think there is a parallel. Look, the fact of the matter is the Israeli army, and it's an army I served in for 13 years, both regular army and reserve. You obey the army, that's your country. But the army is now being used, well, to force Jews out of their homes. Look, when I served in the army, it was to defend Jews. It was not to hurt or harm Jews. It was to defend their homes. Everything has been turned upside down. Now, it's very hard for the Israeli settlers, who are extremely patriotic, to understand that their government is a mafia. Their government is crooked beyond belief. Their government murders. It's hard for them to betray the IDF to all of us, me included. It's sacred. The IDF defends Jews, but the IDF threw out 10,000 Jews from Gaza and northern Samaria in the year 2005. And we'll go to northern Samaria very shortly, where another amazing thing is happening. But first of all, Hebron. It's not a big number. It's only 30, but they're willing to face jail. Now, look, I'm a radical, and I've been saying the same thing. You've got to overturn the Israeli government. The only way you can do this is through this army. This army is being abused. The country is being divided. It has no army when half the country is ashamed to wear the uniform of the IDF and half the country are sort of voluntarily wearing the uniform of the IDF. The Israeli army is going straight downhill. 30 soldiers said, no, we will not use this army anymore to remove Jews from their homes. Boy, God bless them all.
Well, it took a lot of courage, but I think that, Chris, sometimes you have to do what's right. And, Chris, this is one thing that the internationalists who control both Israel and the United States, and believe me, they all part of the same globalist movement. The one thing they fear is when the people won't go along and when the military and the police won't obey their orders and betray the people.
Oh, I hope this army finally stands up to the government and says we'll no longer obey the orders of a mafia. We will overturn Israel. We'll put Shimon Peres on trial for the murder of Rabin, for the murder of Zevi, for the almost murder of Sharon, for the we call it the ringworm children. That is the deliberate frying of the brains of the Sephardic children in the early 1950s when Shimon Peres was head of the Atomic Commission and was Mankal. Mankal is Director General of the Defense Ministry. Put them on trial. Get these mafia out of Israel. Get the Jewish state back on track. 30 young soldiers are going to go to jail because they will not take part in the atrocity that will take place in the next 10 or 12 hours.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
All right.
Go right ahead, Barry.
Look, this was not a bad week. When you consider all that came before it, this was not
traitors who run Israel to force the settlers to leave Gaza after promising the Jewish people that they were elected that protected. They had no intention at all of protecting Gaza.
And others lying.
Right, because just exactly as here in the United States, everybody thought if they voted Democratic, then we'd pull our troops out of the Middle East. Well, they had no intention of it, because it's all controlled by the same people, right, left, conservative, liberal, here in America, certainly the Republican, Democrat over there in Israel. They have a number of different parties, but it's all a charade. it's all set up. And so Barry is simply pointing out that he has several books there. He has 9 books at Lulu.com. One is Bar Bar Gaza. Another one gets into the Labor Party, the Labor Zionist Party, and an organization known as the Sabbateans, which most Americans have never heard of. But until you understand that the Sabbateans are very real, they're a sect of Judaism, a made up of people with Jewish names who are not Jews, who hate Judaism and hate Israel, and many of these are in key positions today, you can't understand anything going on. And so I recommend those books. What books should people order if they actually go to your website, Barry?
Father Gaza's number one. And by the way, number two, we will talk about when you get my DVD into your home, and that is Return of the Giants. It is such a different topic. It's a shame to bring it up tonight, but we will talk about that.
All right, fine, we will. But the other one, of course, is on labor Zionism.
Slave Israel, and of course, who murdered Yitzhak Rabin, and Israel betrayed. Look, I've been doing this for a long time. I found out something, that Israel is not being run by the people we thought it was being run by. These people hate Jews. Shimon Peres despises Jews. You know, after the last election that he lost, he was asked who won, and he said the Jews won, the Israelis lost, and he believes that. There is a massive division between Jews who believe in the Torah and the Talmud. And, well, 2,500 years of written history versus the Sabbateans, who are, you know, they're good for 200 years of lies. And this is what Israel is. The Israeli government are liars. They're mafia, they're killers, and they're liars. And, well, that's why I'm on your show, to kind of prove this. Look, I am not dealing with prophecy or the Bible or the point of view of 2,500 years ago that Damascus is in flames. What I'm talking about is right now, and Tel Aviv is in flames. Now, we're not exactly on the same point of view, but you know what? Ultimately, it is the same point of view. And I'm going to talk about, by the way, I have a long list tonight. This was a very interesting week for Israeli history. But I'm going to stay with the positive for only one moment before returning to the negative. And that is the people, some people of Tel Aviv, some concerned citizens of Tel Aviv did something fantastic this week. They rigged a rocket launcher, and they went to the border of Gaza, and they sent garbage into Gaza, rotten eggs by the hundreds, rotten garbage by the tons. They said, enough of you destroying Sderot, enough of you bombing Ashkelon, you're going to be bombed by garbage.
I know that basically, of course, they really are firing very real rocket shells, explosive shells, into Israel from Gaza. And this was retaliation. Why? Because, of course, the Israeli government refuses to take action against the Hamas, after all. I mean, so much of what's going on is all for showbiz. And, of course, here, the people down there, the Hamas in Gaza, has a free rein to do what they want to. And here's the Israeli citizens. Maybe they're not going to use explosive shells, but they're going to use rockets and shower them with garbage. And, of course, the government moves in to stop it. They wouldn't want to offend anybody in Hamas. It's all right for them to kill Jews, but don't you Jews dare retaliate. And I give them a lot of credit, don't you, Barry?
Oh, boy, do I ever. I've been waiting years for this.
All right. Well, I think there's a lot of exciting things happening. I think more Israelis are beginning to understand what the American people should begin to understand, and that our leaders do not represent us. They have another goal. They have another
agenda. Amen.
And we'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shemesh. Let's go ahead, Barry. You pick the story up there.
Well, you know, I tend to focus on the negative, because the negative is so profound in Israel. the government, it's mafia, the government murders. But you know what? This has not been a bad week. And at least we've seen the Jewish spirit somehow rise. You know, there are people sleeping in Chomish. Chomish was one of the four Sumerian towns in 2005, cleared up by the IDF. There's about 100 people sleeping there tonight. There are people all through, finally, the West Bank, who are taking up positions. There's a rebellion in Israel. There are finally people who want this government to be filled. And I've been saying this for the longest time. Israel, well, at least its government. Look, Israel is not the government. Israel is its people. Finally, its people are rebelling against the government. And boy, have I been shouting that message for the longest time. These people are crooks. We have to expel labor Zionism. Get them out of our system. Now, I've got a problem with that. And it's not a small problem. The anti-Semites have been abusing me. They've been using my information to send entirely the wrong message that I'm sending. My message is simple. Labor Zionism is rot. It's the worst thing that ever happened to Israel. And because they did not create a Sabbatean state in Israel, they are capable of destroying the state that, well, ultimately they created the Israel we know today. They are willing to bring it down, and the only protection we have is to bring down labor Zionism. And the anti-Semites have been saying that I'm anti-Zionist. They're wrong. I'm very pro-Zionist. I'm the Zionist of the old school of Menachem Begin, of Jabotinsky, the Zionism that is proud to be Jewish. And you don't hear that very much anymore. But let's go back to the real Zionism that still runs Israel. And now we're talking about a new subject, Chaim Ramon. Now, Chaim Ramon was named Deputy Prime Minister this week.
Hold that thought, Barry. We're going to have to bring our other stations back on board. We'll be here in just a moment.
Sure.
With Barry Shemesh. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and because Barry was simply talking about he is a Jewish patriot. He loves Israel, but certainly he is not anti-Zionist. He is after the labor Zionists, which are the Sabbatean sect of Judaism. Now, for those of you out there who think you understand what's going on, what do you know about the Sabbateans? And I dare say that most of you have never heard of them, and the reason you're not supposed to is, well, you don't hear about it because you're not supposed to. You can look them up in the American Encyclopedia. They have a section there on them. We'll tell you the background of the Sabbateans, and if you can't find it, you can contact us. We'll be glad to send you some information. But, of course, the information you'll get from me is nothing like you'll get from Barry, who has studied this in great detail, and his sources have gone to other people, very learned rabbis, who have spoken out, had the courage to speak out against the Sabbatean sect of Judaism, which is not Jewish at all, which is hates Judaism. So with that as a background, Barry, you pick the story up.
Well, I gave these interviews this week, finally, to two major Jewish radio shows who finally understood I really sacrificed for. Now, I'm not bragging. There's nothing to brag about. But the voice you hear, for instance, that's post-stroke me. I had a great voice before my stroke, and now I overcome my stroke. I was in a car crash, and it did kill me. I was revived three times on the hospital's table. I really sacrificed my life for the Jewish people. And I don't know why. Quite frankly, I got to tell you something. I don't even know why anymore. But there's something in me that does it. Now, I'm going to go on, defaming the Israeli government. Good. I'm going to defame them until they disappear and something representing real Judaism appears in their place. Chaim Ramon was named Deputy Prime Minister, 10 days ago? That means she is second in line after C.P. Livesey, I won't go into her yet, to take over from Ehud Olmert, who is now being, of course, investigated for major scandals, which we won't do on this show. The point is Chaim Ramon was charged and convicted of sticking his ugly fat tongue down the throat of an 18-year-old soldier, what was it, 4 or 5 months ago. He was 3 or 4 months off from pedophile charges. Chaim Ramon can take over as Prime Minister of Israel. That is how sick things are in Israel. Look, we won't do Peres, who I have, on your show alone, given enough information about the murders of Peres, Rabin, Ze'evi. Peres is a murderer. Barak, our defense minister, is a murderer. He sent Jewish religious soldiers to the deaths in 1982 at a place called Sultan Yaakov. We won't go through all of this. We will just say that Chaim Ramon, the next possible prime minister of Israel, sticks his damn tongue down an 18-year-old girl's throat, and he is second in line to be prime minister of Israel after being charged with his crime. My Lord in heaven, what a perverted government we have in Israel.
Well, I just simply point out, of course, that Olmert is under investigation for criminal activities. The prime minister, certainly the previous president there of Israel, was forced to resign because of charges of rape of 6 women. And, of course, then he was replaced by Peres. I mean, total corruption at every level of government. But don't think that we don't have the similar problems here in the United States. We have certainly a great deal that you're not hearing about. I know I was told by a former secretary, assistant secretary of defense of the Army, Defense Department, the man, you could not get a job in the Defense Department under Donald Rumsfeld without going through a special interview with an openly well-known homosexual. And if you had any anti-homosexual views, why you would not either get a job nor a promotion in the Defense Department. Why would Donald Rumsfeld put somebody like that into a position of number one power in the Defense Department? And, of course, anyone would like to get more information on that, contact me off the air. I'll be glad to get the information and give you the gentleman to talk to, former Assistant Secretary of Defense at the United States the Defense Department, under the Reagan administration, a retired Marine Corps general who's a personal friend of mine. We have corruption in America just like they have corruption in Israel. We don't hear much about it here because the media is controlled, but believe me, there are terrible things going on at every level of our government today. So you pick up the story there, Derek.
I don't even know where to pick it up. But the fact of the matter is Israel is being destroyed by its own leaders, and now we're going to talk about the JNF. Now, people, I know your audience does not know what the Jewish National Fund is. There's no comparison in America. The Jewish National Fund controlled the real estate of Israel. There were little boxes with a map of Israel on them. When I was growing up, in every house, you put your little pennies in the little box and you gave it to the JNF, and it redeemed land for Israel. It was the Jewish National Fund. Well, suddenly it's no longer Jewish. Suddenly, the Jewish National Fund, where all these millions of Jews all over the world have been donating for the last 60 years, is now Arab. They want to give Jewish land to the Arabs. Now, this is something I investigated from America. I didn't have to be in Israel to investigate this, because Shimon Peres, he's everywhere. I mean, this guy is everywhere. His pals, Mort Zuckerman, okay, the Zuckerman family and the Tisch family have been using their influence to turn the JNF into a new fund that gives Arabs an even break on the land of Israel. Now, the reason I say this is they are both members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And I've been saying this for years, that the CFR are working with Paris and the Vatican to destroy Israel, and lo and behold, the Tishman-Zuckerman families are destroying the Jewish National Fund, the JNF. But get this, Ronald Lauder of the CFR, people, go on to Google, just get a CFR list and see if I'm wrong. Just to double-check me, go and see if I'm wrong. Ronald Lauder of the S.C. Lauder cosmetics firm, the person who first backed Ehud Olmert, who claims that he's a right-wing conservative Jew, who, of course, never was a keeper, never goes to synagogue, as far as anyone's ever seen, is the president of the JNF, the Jewish National Fund. Peres is using his CFR buddies to destroy Israel by selling its land to the Arabs. Now, I know this is not easy, and I think the best bet is to go onto my website, look in the section called Articles, and I do explain this all in better detail. My website, just go to BarryChamish.com, BarryChamish.com, and look at this stuff. The fact is, Israel is being destroyed by the Council on Foreign Relations in America, in the Vatican, with Shimon Peres will be visiting the Vatican within a month. It's all being tied together. Israel's greatest enemies are the Vatican and the Council on Foreign Relations, and I'm giving you the exact formula how they're destroying Israel. They're selling the land back to the Arabs. Oh, this is awful. Just simply awful.
Well, I think it's just a terrible tragedy, and of course we see Israel in really sort of an impossible situation. Certainly surrounded by Hamas in the south, Hezbollah in the north, certainly Israel, pardon me, Syria to the east. They're all well armed with very, very sophisticated missiles, many of them long-range missiles. Syria is getting their weapons through Iran. They come from Russia, built fortunately with, of course, American technology by the Russians. Then, of course, the major funder of the Soviet Union today is your tax money. If you ever wondered how it is that Russia's, which is a very, very backward country in most ways, has now become the largest oil and natural gas exporter in the entire world, and they now have, of course, reserve funds of over $400 billion, and we're having to borrow $3 billion every day just to pay our bills. Well, you'll certainly want to get our last four newsletters called the Communist Capitalist Alliance, pointing out how we finance Russia since its very inception. But you go right ahead, we're providing the weapons to the Russians, and they're providing to the Syrians that will be used against Israel. Doesn't make any sense if we are really pro-Israel. But go ahead, Barry.
Well, why don't we go back to the Israel, the good Israel where the Jews are waking up. Finally, the Holocaust survivors are waking up. Now, I've gone through this on your show before, where Edgar Bronfman of the CFR, folks, download, all you do is go to Google, you write CFR membership list, and see if I'm wrong. You will find that I am not wrong. But nonetheless, the Holocaust survivors had a march in Jerusalem against Olmert. Now, here is the reason why. Olmert has given the Holocaust survivors for the year 2008 an additional 130 million shekels. He has given each Holocaust survivor in Israel an additional $20. Did we hear that, folks? $20, 85 shekels. Now, the Holocaust survivors were extremely insulted, and The reason is Edgar Bronfman. No, this is my reason. They should be insulted, but my reason is that Edgar Bronfman sued the Swiss banks, 5 years ago, no more, and he won a judgment of $6.5 billion. Where's that money? $6.5 billion just evenly divided amongst the survivors would give him a lot more than $20 each. Well,
no,
3,000 Holocaust survivors camped outside Ehud Olmert's office absolutely incensed that he would give them 130 million shekels divided evenly, 85 shekels each, or $20.
Now, I think for our listeners out there, what Mr. Bronfman, who formerly owned Seagram's Whiskey and certainly one of the most wealthy men in the entire world, brought a suit against the Swiss banks for the stealing money that they had that was deposited in accounts by the victims of the Holocaust and then never returned after the Second World War and kept and used to invest throughout the world. And so Bronfman, in the name of the Holocaust survivors, got a $6.5 billion settlement to be given to the survivors of the Holocaust, except he didn't give it to them.
No.
Nope. Like the Swiss banks, he's hung on to it. And what's his excuse for not giving any of that money back to the people that he wanted for?
Well, his excuse is really original. His excuse is the Swiss banks didn't release their names. So, poor Edgar Bronfman just had to keep the money all for himself.
Did you believe this? Hypocrisy a bad name. Go right ahead.
Oh, where can we go from this? Do you know what $6.5 billion is? In a country like Israel, that's twice the actual, in Israel's Rivaon, it's twice the actual annual profit of the Israeli budget in the back pocket of Edgar Bronfman.
He is essentially a saboteur, Jew, but go ahead.
Well, if he isn't, he should be. The real problem with the Sabbateans, they keep their beliefs a secret. We can only know that, number one, they don't go to synagogue, or they go to a Reform synagogue. They don't wear a kippah. Well, in short, you have to get my book, so type 3, Labor Zionism of the Holocaust. You can't explain this on a radio blurb, lulu.com, and try and get it. But there's more. There is more to this week, and here is the more. I gave speeches last week, and by the way, we gave, I thought you did a fine interview with me. Would you consider? I was talking on a cell phone from New York. I think you did a very, very good job with me. And I explained that Abraham Burg, now this is so complicated again, I'm sorry, I apologize to your listeners, but he is the former head of the Jewish Agency who went to France and declared that all Jews should take up a non-Israeli citizenship and that being Israeli is no different than being a Nazi. Abraham Burg brought in lots and lots of Gentiles from Russia and Ethiopia, and the idea was to disintegrate Israel as a Jewish state, to take away the Jewish majority. He brought in at least 500,000 Christians to really make life tough for the Jews of Israel. All right, now, I was in a place called Liberty, New York. I was speaking to a group of very idealistic young Jews, and finally, I read a Hebrew newspaper. It's been about a year. And it was Yediot Achronot. They did a massive story on the absorption of these Russian and Ethiopians. It has been a disaster. 60% of all youthful criminals are from Russia and Ethiopia, and they are Gentiles. The absorption has been a write-off. They join gangs. They join anti-Semitic gangs. They put swastikas on synagogues. Israel has got more anti-Semitism than France these days, all because of Abraham Burg, former head of the Jewish Agency.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
All right.
All right, go ahead, Barry. We got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, we did a good job, as usual. You guided me very expertly. What Abraham Burg did was bring in 500,000 Gentiles who are not being absorbed into Israeli society. They are now in gangs. All of Israel is in danger from these gangs. Israel is spinning out of control. It is spinning out of its internal control. It has no control over its own youth, and it's spinning out of its external control, where 80,000 missiles are aimed at the country the next time there's a war. That first and second day is going to be a mighty awful shock to Israel and the world, when 10 or 20,000 missiles fall on Israel, and this begins the equivalent of the European Holocaust of 1941-45. This is an awful message, but all I got to say to you is this week there were signs that Jews are finally fighting back.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I think people have to really understand how small Israel is today. I mean, it's never been very large, but once they had actually pulled back off the West Bank and gone to this little enclave along the Mediterranean, I mean, you know, I would think that 5,000 missiles all at one time would simply wipe out Tel Aviv and Haifa, and Israel as we know it would cease to be a nation.
Imagine New Jersey being hit with 20,000 missiles.
Right. And of course, but Israel is really much smaller than New Jersey. How would it compare with New Jersey?
Same size.
About the same size. Well,
yep.
And anyway, of course, we are facing terrible, terrible times today for Israel, and then, of course, in my estimation, for America as well, because the fate of the United States and Israel, whether we like it or not, is intertwined, and I personally believe this is as it should be. Anyway, we're facing exciting times. Go to lulu.com and type in Barry Shamish. I go to his website again, BarryShamish.com. That's www.BarryShamish.com. Get Barry's material. Read it through. He's a Jewish patriot. He knows more about Israel than probably anybody else that I know, and I think you'll be fascinated, and we'll look forward to having Barry back with us, if not this week, then next week sometime. Thanks
after
very much.
After you get the DVDs, you will have lots to talk to me about.
I will. Bye-bye. Good night. God bless.
See you later.
Bye-bye.